When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What if a kid wants to switch schools, not for more money, but because he feels like he needs to be closer to family? The situation is playing out as we speak. We're going to tell you about it as we talk some dogs coming up. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great conversation with Kate and Ellis, guys. If you missed it, it's online at Odyssey.com. We also caught up with Coach Ra today as they get ready for the Giants. And everybody knows Michael Penix is starting at quarterback. Before we get into some college football conversation, Mike, let's hear Kate and Ellis talk about the switch at quarterback, what he just told us moments ago.
Yeah, I found out what most of y'all did. And it was one of those things where, you know, mixed emotions. You got to have the resilience and excitement behind the guy that, you know, they put in. And at the end of the day, that doesn't have to be faked at all. It's true. It's real. You know, when we drafted Mike going in training camp, I was pretty excited. You know, we do a lot of ones versus twos. And I was like, yeah, we get a rookie quarterback we get a feast on. I don't care what number, what slot we drafted him at. I'm about to pick this kid off a couple times a day, and I don't think I got him once all practice or all camp. He's a very mature rookie. He sees the field extremely well, and he's got a gun for an arm. So the excitement's real there, and knowing he's coming in, knowing he's going to do his thing, is awesome. And you know, talking about the Kirk right before him, I think maybe the most exciting thing about Mike is he's gotten to watch Kirk do it, and he's gotten to watch him do it at such a high level. Kirk Cousins is one of the favorite teammates I've ever had in my life. He's one of the best leaders I've ever been around in my life. And I'm really excited that Mike got to watch him do it. And Mike got to watch him do it in some pretty special moments. He watched Kirk win the game against New Orleans for us. He watched Kirk win the game against Philly for us. He watched Kirk win the game with 509 yards passing against Tampa Bay for us. And so at the end of the day, it's one of those things where it sucks that one of your leaders has to take a step aside right now. But at the same time, he's still one of our leaders, and he's led the guy that's going to step in and lead us now in a pretty special way. So mixed emotions, but at the end of the day, excitement, while also appreciation for what's happened.
You know it, Carl. We've talked about it. I mean, you heard it from the day Kirk Cousins stepped into Flowery Branch. We had that play, Bijan. We played that cut all season long, man. This dude's for real. You know, and he's a leader.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, I mean, it's like I said, it's not like the dude's dead. I mean, he's still going to be there. He's going to be on the sideline. He'll be supporting Penix Jr. because he's a stand-up guy. And you know, a lot of folks are all pulling for the guy. But it's just hard not to get excited when you've got your first-round draft pick waiting in the wings. And whether that contributed to some of the pressure, Penix is a winner, man. I had some guy light me up. It was funny. Some guy hit me up on the text line. Yeah, well, Penix didn't do anything in the national championship. His running back was dead. His running back, they shot him up, Carl. He couldn't play.
Yeah.
We've got two great running backs. We've got balance. We have the balance he didn't have. He should look pretty darn good getting there, right? All those amazing throws. Some like 50 explosive plays for the Huskies last season. Come on.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, you can say that, but I saw him beat the Longhorns and throw the ball around the field like he was in his backyard.
Dropping dimes. So, I mean, you're talking about the tight windows?
Yeah.
On schedule.
I totally agree. I am not going to dictate what, again, he did in college. How many of you had Josh Allen as your MVP coming out of college?
You and I, and like I thought it was the stupidest pick ever because of his lack of experience against quality. And, you know, Fran Tarkenton used told us, you know, you never coach accuracy. He put the work in. He got better and better, and he's a dog. He's going to be the MVP.
Nobody, don't base it on what a guy did. He was great in college, and he threw for a lot of yards. But it's the projection, the tools, and the talent I always talk about. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to talk some dogs. All right. Here's the situation. And it used to be that whether there if there was money involved or not, many of you thought there wasn't, that underneath the table, that might be the reason. And I find this interesting, Mike, because it could affect the Georgia-Florida game, but five-star Oregon wide receiver, his name's Dallas Wilson, has requested a release. Now, understand, just a few weeks ago, he was part of Oregon's top class,
right,
and he just signed to go play for Dan Lanning and company. But now, and I mean this, his agent, okay, he's with Elite Sports Management. His name's Vernon Brown. He has come out and said, look, it's not about the money. The kid wants to go back to Florida, which is where he's from, and he has a relative that is ill that he wants to be close to. Now, we've talked about these kind of scenarios and situations playing out in years past, but I just think, Mike, when you put that out there, how does Dan Lanning not let this kid out of his, you know, his letter of intent to come and play, and regardless of what the NIL is, he says it's not about the money, it's about the kid wanting to be closer to an ailing family member. I think everybody can understand that.
I'd like to think that the NCAA will use some common sense with the NCAA. Remember the Tez Walker debacle at North Carolina last year, guys? Remember that one? Guy, you know, you'd hit other transfers, but now, again, that has no bearing on this with the new rules. But the NCAA was holding Tez Walker's transfer to UNC. He missed half the season.
Yep.
Same thing. He's trying to get home to his grandmother. So I hope they'll be cooler heads prevailing in this scenario. But it is kind of a sucks to be a Ducks fan if you had this guy on the hook.
This guy's a five-star. He's a dude. He is. He's really good. The kid, again, he was 3 years at Tampa Bay Tech, which is the high school. 130 passes, over 2,400 yards, 28 touchdowns. He's one of three five-star recruits that the Ducks signed in the 2025 class. I'm only saying, guys, some people are going to read this or see it, Mike, and go, this is not true. This kid just wants to – they're offering – Florida's offering
well,
more money.
That's where it's going to – people are going to go, you know, convenient. But nowadays with NIL, I mean, you know, people would say, well, you can fly, you know, cross-country. There'll be a lot of folks that'll call shenanigans on it. So I see both sides of the coin on this because we live in a new world.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't deny that I'm a little skeptical about it. But when I saw, you know, that his agent is out there saying, look, he just wants to be closer to family. Okay, I hear you. And we've seen scenarios in college football like this where kids have wanted to leave. Yeah. But back in the day when you transferred, you had to sit out a year.
Right.
Those days are gone. So all this kid is asking is for his release. But, Mike, if, in fact, he ends up getting that and he goes to Florida – Florida just got a lot better because this is a kid that can play. And, again, right. you saw DJ Lagway already. If they get this young man, it adds to what Florida's offense is going to look like next year.
Now, again, you know, I can see, you know, if you're a Florida Gator fan, you go, no, this is legit. I mean, but then what are you going to have guys going, hey, man, you know, my aunt Matilda's got a bunion and I got to get back to, you know, there's going to be a line. I think there's some fans that would accept it as legitimate, but we'll see where this one plays out. Good for Billy Napier.
And by the way, for a guy that was on the hot seat for most of the season, how did that play out? I mean, those wins against Ole Miss and, you know, LSU really put him back in taking him off the hot seat and really putting him back in a good light in Florida fans' eyes. Kobe Young, Mike, trial date set. And, you know, we were talking about, is he going to be able to play? It doesn't feel like he's going to get an opportunity to come back and play.
No, he's going to miss it. Look, I know a lot of guys, first, we always say we don't rush to judgment, but just the optics, just all the stuff that off the field. And remember that the USA Today, remember like that 15-page article they wrote about Georgia? The timing was terrible.
Yeah.
And then later on, his baby mama walks back what she told the police in her statement. And the DA is like, I'm not going to buy that. And they've stated that in some cases, women, they describe, you know, abuse.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Relationships, I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, either way, you thought the kid was going to be scot-free, but the prosecution, that's their prerogative to say, no, we're moving forward.
He pleaded not guilty on misdemeanor charges of battery and assault. His new court date is now January 29th.
Yeah, too late.
February 17th, jury trial. So Mark Weiser from the Athens Banner-Herald is reporting this and saying basically the likelihood of him playing in the college football playoff over the next 3 weeks, guys, not this weekend, but even over the next 3 weeks, we get to January 20th. That's the championship
game.
So that's unfortunate. But again, his lawyer had sought to have the charges against him dismissed, and this is kind of where we are.
She recanted her statement to the police, but they said tough luck.
Yeah, well, she wanted the charges dropped, allegedly. That's what I had seen or saw, Mike. And you know, either way, this is where we're at. Could he have helped the dogs? Would he have helped the dogs in this situation with – you know, the amount of time he's got to practice and get ready. I don't know. What I do know is their top two guys that they were counting on, and Ra-Ra and Colby Young, were not on the field this year.
Right. And this is where the guys that are out there, they're still highly regarded and highly touted, just can't consistently catch the football. So those guys got to make some plays. Frazier's got to stop fumbling. A lot of things that come into play, but you're waiting to see if it's going to be Tennessee. I should say, waiting to see if it's going to be Notre Dame or the Hoosiers. The one I can't wait to watch, by the way, we'll talk more about this tomorrow when we're up there at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. I can't wait for that Tennessee-Ohio State game. Man, Ryan Day, brother. A lot of folks feel he loses this game. Ohio State, even though they're saying they wouldn't fire him, they still may fire him. You buy that?
I do. You spent all that money. You lost again to Michigan, a lesser opponent this year, and right. Now you lose at home?
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And by the way, I mean, all the hype about Nico Iamaleava, is he going to step up and get back to where he was supposed to be? Because remember, they had to kind of run the football a lot down the stretch with Tennessee. He kind of lost his mojo, too.
All right, guys, coming up, Zach Robinson speaking last night, talking about all the things that he's seeing with Michael Penix as they get him ready for Sunday. We're going to let you hear what our OC had to say, and we're going to talk about what Caden Ellis talked about. We got to get some dog talk in there, but he mentioned some changes on the defense. The numbers with sacks have increased. There's a reason. We're going to tell you why next. All right, I want to tell you guys something we were spending a lot of time on and talking about, and we haven't spent a lot of time on talking about it lately. That's sacks. Caden Ellis came on the show. I tried to get it out of him, and he said I'd rather talk about it after the season. But yes, we've done a few things that are different. Guys, do you realize we had 5 against the Chargers? That was a loss. We had 4 against the Vikings. That was a loss. We had 4 against the Raiders. We won that game. That is a total of 13 sacks coming out of the bye. We're not talking about sacks anymore. Sacks are not the reason why we're losing these games. And that is what's crazy about this situation we're in. We were saying we need more heat. We got to get more sacks. Quarterback was fine. Now we're getting sacks, and the quarterback isn't fine, and now we have to make a change. Mike, 13 since the bye week. That's 3 weeks. And these guys have gotten to the quarterback. And the change, I think there's a multitude of things going on. But one of the changes is this guy that we just had on the phone, Mike, Caden Ellis.
And I love Caden. But all the things you're saying, I got to be honest, it still adds up to the least amount of sacks in the National Football League.
We're not talking about it.
But you played a team that was one-dimensional in the Chargers. They had one wide receiver. You know, I mean, they couldn't really run the ball. I mean, I just felt beating up the Raiders, I get it. I'll take those numbers, and special teams was great. But I just think two of those three opponents just couldn't do some of the things that, you know, a balanced NFL team does.
So the crazy thing is, if they got no sacks, we'd be bitching.
Right.
They got 5, 4, and 4 the last 3 weeks.
Right.
So,
but Desmond Ritter was literally, I mean, even with his mobility that we saw, of like a sitting duck back there. Well, that was on the Raiders, man. They fired the OC.
When they get sacks, now it's the quarterback who's sitting back there.
I'm just not getting all excited about being dead last in the NFL at sacks, even with all the numbers you're talking about.
Who's excited?
You're excited.
I'm just saying all the comments that you were making about sacks, it hasn't mattered the last 3 weeks. This is not the reason we're not winning football games.
The Raiders literally had a one-dimensional offense. They didn't even try to run the football in this game. Desmond Ritter is horrible, but I mean, I feel good about it. I mean, you still came down to the final possession in that game. Yes, your offense was horrible. That's why Cousins got benched. But I'm not going to get all warm and fuzzy about, you know, getting sacks on Desmond Ritter because the Raiders are terrible.
Well, what about Sam Darnold? That's a 12-win football team.
And then when you didn't get the sacks, they burned us for the explosive plays.
I mean
that's literally the definition of sacks don't matter, as in Mike Smith, because you didn't get the sacks when you needed them.
And that's the thing. Timely sacks is what matters. Sacks, generally speaking, if you get six sacks and you still lose, what impact did it have on the game?
Consistent pressure, getting the other team off the field on third down. That's what Smitty used to say. And I used to bust his balls about it, but this is like living proof in that Vikings game.
So is this overrated? Because the reason why I say this is because the Denver Broncos have 49 sacks right now. They're Super Bowl champions. Are they going to win it? The Houston Texans have 45 sacks.
They've got a much better – the Broncos have a lights-out defense compared to what we've got.
No, they got a really good defense. My point is we have improved in this area, and this is not what we're talking about now. We're talking about something completely different that is affecting why we are losing games. And earlier in the season, it was we're losing because we're not getting enough heat. I give Caden Ellis and this defense credit. Out of the bye week, and again, I can't put my finger on it specifically, things have changed. They're doing a really good job, and that needs to be acknowledged. It's not about getting warm and fuzzy, putting pom-poms on. 5-4-4 in the last 3 weeks, the problem is two of those were losses. That's my issue. Like, we got these sacks, but how did it affect the game?
Well, we are still 1-2-3. We're the fourth worst team as far as touch. We're tied for second. Actually, it's a four-way tie for the most touchdowns allowed. Us, the Panthers, the Texans you mentioned, and Jacksonville have all given up 27 touchdowns in the air.
Texans have?
Texans have, which is crazy.
That is crazy. I didn't realize that.
I looked at the numbers. But yeah, the Texans have allowed 27.
Wow.
They also picked off 19.
Lots of turnovers.
Right.
See, and that's the other thing that during this span where Kirk was struggling, we talked about it. Guys, we didn't turn people over. We just didn't. And all of a sudden, like, that dried up, and then your quarterback is turning it over to the other team, yet we're getting sacks. All I'm saying is there is an improvement there. This is what we're going to have to do if we're going to make a playoff run.
But I know the phrase drives people crazy because every coach and player will use it, but the complimentary football, if that's where you've got to be able to, you know, for instance, our secondary, we need more picks from the secondary. That's one that we definitely – remember Jesse Bates was on pace, seemed like he was going to lead the league as a safety.
Early.
We need more of those. We've got 9 interceptions. By the way, not to say it's you know, again, he can still make mistakes. He's a rookie. The pressure for Michael Penix Jr. The Giants have only got 2 picks in the entire season.
And that's why they are where they are.
Think about that, guys. Now you give up 19 passing touchdowns, only 2 picks.
Turnovers matter. Sacks do matter. And we go around and around on this. They do matter, but it's when they happen in a game. And, you know, Chris Jones in the Super Bowl, sacked to win the game. That's a different level of this playing itself out. But I give them credit. Whatever they're doing, let's keep doing it. Because, Mike, I think, again, I don't know who we're going to see in the playoffs. Let's knock wood. If we get there, you're going to have to do this. We cannot get into the playoffs and revert back to what we were doing, which was 0 sacks in most of these games.
We had fun, I think, the first quarter of the season, you and I, because we said, well, we might not get to 18 sacks. Well, if we surpassed that.
Well, remember I asked you and Chris.
Can you get to 30?
I was throwing that number out. Like, 25, you both were like, no. What are we at? 20 what?
We're 23. So we would need at least two sacks and 3 in one game to get us over 30.
Well, they've been averaging 4. So these last 3 weeks. I don't know. I mean, look, if you feel like Carolina's a bad team, right, but it's a division game, we're going to be favored this week and the last week of the season. The Washington game is the one that I think everybody's kind of like, not sure.
It's a huge game with the wild card ramifications. Big game, guys. We need to be Bucks fans this week. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans this weekend against the Bucks, and we really need to be Eagles fans against the Commanders, because you can knock the Commanders down a peg, Carl, to where that game that we play, that could decide us jumping into the wild card if we can't get by Tampa Bay for the division. The other good news about the final part of the season, mentioned it yesterday. Giants and Carolina are the two worst rushing defenses. Carolina's given up the most. Giants are the second most. So we should be able to have the balanced attack, which should set Penix up for success.
That bodes well for us. Let's hear real quick. We got some guy talk coming up from Zach Robinson. Talking about Michael Penix as they get him ready. And we've been talking about it all day, guys. You'll hear from Coach Rock coming up. That Caden Ellis interview that we did earlier, you'll also hear that. Here he is talking about the 70-play walkthrough that they had last night and the fact that Michael Penix was throwing the ball around.
Yeah, I think it's even as simple as, you know, we just had a walkthrough just now. We just had about 70 plays of walkthrough, and we made sure that he was throwing every single one. The guys were jogging through, but we want to make sure that, obviously, they're seeing the lefty spin. You know, they're running through the landmarks that they're supposed to be at, the timing, all those things that are going to happen. But like you said, got to accelerate that. Probably going to have to get extra work, you know, after practice tomorrow and routes on air and all those things that will be important. We've got, you know, all of our skill guys and Mike, they've got such a great natural feel for the game that, you know, of course, there's going to be things here and there that they're just going to continue to get better at. But we feel good about just, you know, the overall skill guys, their feel for the game, Mike's feel for the game, and anticipate that those guys will show up in a big way on Sunday.
I mean, there's generally, you know, when you get a new quarterback in there sometimes, Carl, there's a buzz. There's certainly a buzz with the fan base, but I think it's not like it's divided emotions or loyalties, but you heard it from Caden Ellis when he joined us. These guys love Kirk Cousins, you know, and they're excited about Penix because Penix is a great young man. We were impressed when we sat down with him a few times. But yeah, it's a strange time, but it's also a chance that maybe the shakeup will drive us to something, right?
Sure, sure. I think, guys, whether they're admitting it or not, and by the way, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we will let you hear from one player who's basically not non-committal. That's the word I'm going to use as to how he feels about things that have happened.
He's low energy.
Yeah. Nice. he stated how he feels, but I think most guys feel like Caden Ellis. I think most of these guys are excited about what's in front of them.
And I think out of respect, because of the way Kirk Cousins handled his business until obviously things went off the rails, you guys, I think, probably look at each other at some point. Maybe they're never going to say it publicly, but what the is going on here?
No.
Probably in that wide receiver room. What the is going on here?
By the way, you like these red helmets, right? I mean,
oh, it's fire. I wish that was the permanent. You know me, but I'd love those. I would go with the white britches, the black shirts, and the red lids all year, man.
Yeah, we're sporting the red helmets, man. That's going to be tight on Sunday.
I didn't know. You know, I was very frustrated after the Chargers loss, so I decided to go to Florida this week.
Uh-huh.
So my guys who sit with my tickets, I never put my tickets on stuff, so I got my Falcon fans in my seats, but I'll be listening to Weston Arch on a boat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I booked a boat and I can't get out. It was no refund.
Well, hey, man, I'm hoping we ball out.
I need
out.
You to be texting me.
I'll need,
because I won't be able to watch it until I get, you know, home and on the DVR.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, really, really, really bad week for Doug Gottlieb, and it couldn't happen to a bigger bag. Also coming up, what happens when Kyler Murray finds out it's going to be really, really cold in Charlotte. Stay tuned. When a play is play, where was our new quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., at when he got the news? You're the man? He's a man of the people, Carl.
You're the man now, dog.
I'm at Costco about to get a wiener. He was about to get a $1.50 hot dog. He's with his girlfriend shopping at the local Costco. I love Penix Jr. We had him on the show, and, you know, he's a good dude. It's funny because I didn't understand why we drafted him and signed Kirk Cousins, and some of you nitwits took that for some kind of dislike of Penix, which it wasn't.
It was not.
And then the guys are like, yeah, they're saying they're nice to you. You're provocateurs. So now we probably have to restore this relationship with Penix Jr. because it was all about, like, one or the other in my mind. And if Penix balls out, then it makes the Cousins thing look even dumber. But we can't know that until we see what the man can do. I can't wait to see this thing. I just tell Carl during the break, you're right. I make impulsive decisions when I'm angry, like a lot of men my age.
Yeah, fair enough.
And after we blew that Chargers game, I basically said to my wife, that's it! Going back to Naples, Florida! I got Christmas week off, I'm going! You know, and so I literally did like a George Costanza's dad. And so now, one of the biggest moments in the Falcon season, and I've got to, you know, I'll be listening to Wes Druham and Arch on the radio.
Yeah, it is. And it is, man. Our buddy, who just hit me up, because I just saw this, and he said, it's kind of funny, because we just kind of don't think about it. Our buddy Jonathan said, fellas, it should be electric on Sunday. Falcon fans, get your blank in your seats on time.
And look, I'm not going to scold people. My dad, we're old school. I know Carl's dad was the same way. You got to be there when the anthem's played. In the seat when the anthem's played. We've seen it, and I've lived in other cities that have the NFL, and fans are in their seats for the player introduction. So come on, guys.
I was actually getting a hot dog.
That's the best part.
That's so cool. He's at Costco getting a. And by the way, another thing. You know, Carl used to make fun of me when I was living in this high rise city boy, and I go out to the country. I'd never even been in a freaking Costco.
Oh, it's the best.
The best. Have you been in a Costco yet, Turtle?
I live at a Costco when I was at home in New Jersey.
Okay.
Bulk.
The problem is, but it's like the PGA Tour Superstore if you're a golfer. You can't get out of there for under $300.
No.
It's like, give me one of those. Give me three of those. I bought a speaker. I think I've used this thing three times for the pool.
Just because.
I mean, you could hear this. If I was playing like Van Halen, you could hear it like in Atlanta from like down in Peachtree City. Because it was an impulse buy. Look, speaker for $120. Done.
They've got
put it on the cart.
They got everything in there, man. Everything. Right. And literally.
Whenever I got the call, I wasn't hungry anymore.
That's the best part.
His appetite once he found out he was starting.
Well, wouldn't you?
I mean, Hell yeah.
I mean, and by the way, Costco food underrated. I'm telling you right now.
The pizza, the hot dogs.
It's very cool.
And look, Becky gets the, we got lobster tails from Costco the other day.
Underrated.
And grilled them with some steaks. I mean, the food, the deli and the butcher shop is on point.
I'm with you. How about all the free samples?
Hell yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like Whole Foods in there. Yeah. You go in there, you can have a meal.
Bring that Hillshire Farms over here.
Yeah. Hey, every time I try to turn them down, they're like, are you sure? I'm like, all right, I want some.
All right. So on from a good man and Michael Penix Jr., a man of the people, to an absolute jerk and a guy that I can't stand. Carl is not as love-hate with people in the media as I am, but I absolutely loathe Doug Gottlieb.
You do.
Chris, you can speak to this. You're never going to work at CBS again. He's a putz, isn't he?
He was not, I'll say this, not the most easygoing gentleman to work with or for.
Now, for those who don't remember, before he got his talk gig, he'd been working as a basketball analyst. He's also a guy that ripped off his teammate's credit card when he was playing at Notre Dame. Or was it Oklahoma State? He wound up at Oklahoma State.
He wound up at Oklahoma State.
And it's just, I mean, and that just tells you a lot about it, dude. Look, we've all been broke in college. You don't do that to a teammate. You know, come on. But anyway, that's just part one. Then he starts popping off. Adam Schefter earlier this week says that the Sacramento team, which was trying to lure Mike Vick, is coming with some heavy money to get into NIL now that they're going to be in this newfangled Pac-12. So he says Sacramento coming with $50 million in NIL funds to strengthen the school's case. So Gottlieb shoots over to Adam Schefter. Ah, Jesus, Doug. A 7-game losing streak in last place in Horizon League? I did it backwards. First it starts off with Gottlieb crapping on Schefter, saying, come on, man, they haven't got $50 million. They don't have that money. And then Schefter comes back at him and says, hey, man, basically, why don't you stick to losing bad basketball?
Ooh.
Right, Chris? I got the chronology backwards.
So Schefter said that back to him.
Right. He shot back at him. He goes, geez, Doug, a 7-game losing streak in last place in Horizon League. Less time on social media, more time in the gym.
Oh, snap.
Come on. You don't want to laugh. You're holding it in. Anyway, so then, but wait. There's more. Then Gottlieb goes.
Y'all ain't going to get me.
Gottlieb goes and then
y'all ain't going to get me. Okay. I'm just telling you right
and
now.
And then he says about their next opponent that he goes, oh, man, referred to schools outside of the division. He coaches University of Milwaukee, UW Milwaukee.
Yes, he does.
Gottlieb is. And he says, anyone out of the Phoenix division wants for his nobody you. And then he goes and gets beat by a nobody you.
Well,
so Gottlieb is having a really, really bad week.
Well, when he took this job, first of all, everybody's like, what are you doing? You got a talk show in the middle of the day. Like, when are you going to spend time with practice and the kids? And he was like, I can handle this. So what you're telling me is I haven't kept up with this. What you're telling me is he's not doing a really good job of coaching right now.
That is correct.
Okay.
Basically saying, yeah, man, you got these tiers of who to schedule. He goes, I don't like the idea of playing his 2 degrees out, playing nobody you coming in here. Make that an 8-game losing streak.
All right. And he was off the air the next day? Wow. All right, that Turtle just said that to me. I had no idea whether he could coach or not. It didn't matter. I thought it was a bad idea for him to take the gig. But good for Shefty to come back at him, man. I mean, like, he's right. Less time on social media. Why don't you coach the kids up?
It was Michigan Tech, a Division II team, taking out University of Wisconsin.
Never heard of them.
Milwaukee. How about them apples? Hey, man, I've got Kyler Murray on my fantasy team. Really need a big week because it's the semifinals in the Shenanigans League. Big money up for grabs. So let's hear how motivated he is to play in some colder temperatures outside of Phoenix in Charlotte.
No, I mean, I've played in cold weather before. It's not a... I don't know, how cold is it supposed to be?
Like
35,
40.
Yeah.
I mean, 35. We're not talking about going to Lambeau.
Yeah, it's not. That I mean, it's cold, but that's not cold when you're running around out there.
Hey, man, you may have heard the story that the rumors were, and again, it's so Jetsy if it's true, that Jerry Jeudy, there was an offer on the table for the Jets to make a trade for Jerry Jeudy, and it was nixed by Woody Johnson because he took the time to look up Jerry Jeudy's Madden rating. You buying that?
I was shocked when I saw this. The reporters who put this story together are credible. I think they're accurate. I think they know that organization. I don't know how the hell they got this story, Mike, but that tells you how bad it is right. with Woody Johnson and ownership if an owner is looking up a guy's Madden rating to make a decision on whether or not he should trade him.
So they
caught trade for him.
Caught up with Jerry Jeudy and got his reaction.
Your reaction to that report that the Jets owner vetoed the trade because the owner rating is too low?
To be honest, I don't believe it. I think that's a fake news, for real. Why would somebody look at Matt Reed? Be real. I don't think that's real, but, you know, it's funny.
I know. The Jets would do that. Chris, do you believe that Woody Johnson would look up somebody's Madden rating and then nix a trade?
Not only am I not surprised, I think that's their standard modus operandi there when they're evaluating players, to be honest.
I'm shocked.
Absolute gold. Hey, man, good for Travis Hunter clapping back, although some would say don't get down in the gutter with these nitwits. And once you saw his lovely lady that he's engaged to, and they've been dating for years, and then some guys on the internet is, oh, man, you're going to upgrade, you're going to get a new girl. How could you say that about a human being? Isn't that just awful? He basically says to some folks out there, and it's a long soundbite, but he basically, in essence, said, some of you guys probably don't even have a girlfriend. So get out of my life and go get yourself a girlfriend.
Well, everybody wants to judge the kid now. I mean, you know, he's a Heisman winner. Again, I want nothing but the best for the Georgia boy, man, because I think he's going to be a special player in the NFL. But, yeah, get out of people's business, man. Like, for real.
Right.
Now we're and listen, guys, and people do this, Mike, privately, but this is the deal with social media. You're coming after him on social media talking about his girl?
Right.
Like, come on.
And he's a good dude. I mean, everything seems to point in the direction that this guy is everything we've expected him to be since his days in high school here. You know, sticking with Deion, going to Jackson State, obviously now one of the Heisman at Colorado. Just a good dude, man. Yeah. So.
Well, and I'll say this. We know this, right? I mean, once you get to the league, Mike, you meet a lot of people. And he's going to meet a lot of beautiful women, and he probably already has. But at the end of the day, like, all this stuff shouldn't matter. Turtle's saying basically that there were rumors out there about her, I guess, dating other guys and being right out there before she hooked up with him. There's a lot of that going on. Right. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
We had the story at the end of the show the other day that who is it? Who the Yankees just picked up from the Cubbies?
Soto?
Yeah, they picked up picked up Bellinger, and Bellinger's wife is Giancarlo Stanton's ex-wife.
Stanton.
Never had that for you on Clear Your Throat.
You sure did.
Show. So that could be a little funky when the wives are hanging out behind home plate.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, a lot of that stuff happens where guys are familiar with other guys' girlfriends because they've dated somebody that they knew in that world. And I'm talking about the professional sports world. So I don't know, man. I love Travis. I think he's going to be great. By the way, do you take him one overall? Do you take him if you have the first pick?
See, that's the thing. If the Giants need a quarterback, the Raiders need a quarterback.
You don't take him one overall.
But it's you like Shador Sanders. I mean, here's the thing: does somebody put together a huge package who sees this guy as the modern day, you know, Jim Thorpe, and you go for it, and you get Deion, and then maybe in the NFL, a lot of guys feel he won't be playing all the snaps. You maybe come up with 10 plays on offense or whatever the number is, unless the guy can hack it, right? Because I think Deion is the model, the way Deion was used in the NFL for special teams and for receiver.
Did he return kicks for Colorado? Because I'm thinking that's the other way you could use him too, Mike, if you wanted to. But I just feel like, look, if I am Travis, and we got plenty of time to discuss this,
right?
I want to know who's making the most money. Is it wide receivers or is it corners? It's wide receivers. That's what I want to be in the NFL. That's what I'm looking at.
Hey, man. Don't forget, guys, our Hey Man Ale is out there. Go get it. I just saw there's a ton at Publix. Actually, I grabbed 2 6-packs. I was like, why pay for your own beer? Because I'm not driving to Greensboro. But anyway, that's where the brewery is. Get it at your Publix. Don't forget, guys, we're going to be Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. All the station shows will be there tomorrow all day long. We'll come and see you.
Are you insinuating she's a gold digger, oh? Is that what you are insinuating here?
Travis Tunner ain't broke, is he?
All right.
So you don't want to get into the Schefter-Gottlieb dynamic?
Y'all ain't gonna get me. Coming up, Falcon Report, next.